Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope whether you're in school, maybe at work, maybe you're just doing nothing right now, but you're checking out a new podcast. Welcome, and I hope that your week is going well. Hey, we're halfway there. Like, we're already almost to another weekend, and here's another crazy thing to think about. It is already November. How is it November already? Wasn't it like just summer? Like just now? The holidays are going to be here before we know it, and we are in the most amazing stretch of the year as far as sports are concerned. You have the NFL going. You have college football going. The World Series, of course, is underway. The NBA, the NHL, the Premier League. It is all happening right now. It is truly a wonderful, wonderful time of the year. But there is even more reason for a little positivity right now. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, is there though? Because right now it's a little bit painful. But there actually is. Because yes, Thanksgiving is coming. You know, I love Thanksgiving. Football, food, how does it get better than that? Then you've got Christmas. Then you've got New Year's. Big games, bowl games, playoff games. So many good things are just ahead of us. But more important than any of that, here in the United States, the elections are almost over and the political ads can go away for at least another couple of years. I just, honestly, I hate them so much. I hate them so much. They are all lying and they are all dirty and they are all on the take. And as soon as one side says they are more ethical than the other side, then you know they're lying too. Hey, just keep this in mind. One more week, my friends. One more week, and we can be done with at least a little bit of that silliness. Of course, the biggest story coming out this morning is in Major League Baseball, where the Houston Astros are trying to win their first World Series title without cheating, right? And so far through three games, it's not going that well. The underdog Philadelphia Phillies surprised everyone by stealing game one, 6-5, in Houston, in a game where we saw a Houston batter with an illegal bat. But then the Astros took care of business in game two. They were going to prove to everyone they can do this. They don't have to cheat. They're going to beat the Phillies. Hey, they're the favorites. They're the big dogs. It should be easy, right? Well, last night, in game three, the Astros got absolutely taken to the woodshed, 7-0. And you know, watching that game, I don't know what it is. It's almost like the Astros just don't know what pitch is coming next. And once again, Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper had a couple of home run blasts for the Phillies. Surely the Astros are going to rally, right? They're still going to come back and win this, right? I mean, they won 106 games this year to Phillies 87. And yet, there is always something to be said for just being hot. And the Philadelphia Phillies are red hot right now. And that can be really, really tough to overcome. Hey, before we jump in today, I just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the YouTube videos. And yes, we have links to the Daily Dose gear. Hey, I'm putting up an article on Tuesday mornings. Usually, it has a local flavor. Lately, been a lot of Denver Bronco talk going on over there. But then Young Jimmy may release an article on Thursdays. We do have those links to the Daily Dose gear right now, though. It is November. You may need a hoodie. You may need a t-shirt. Why not get one in the color that you want with Daily Dose on the front of it? So people that see it are obviously going to think you kind of know what's up. Make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, finding exactly what you need, because you can find everything going up there each week. And we are putting new things up at DailyDoseSports.com every single week. So be sure you stop by. Hey, today on the show, the college football season is now halfway through the regular season. So we're going to be breaking down what we've seen so far, and maybe more importantly, what we can expect to see in the second half of the season. Who's going to step up? Who's going to make that run to the college football playoff? Who are the true Heisman contenders? Are there any teams out there that just might surprise us, that just might make that magical run to the college football playoff? Hey, we have a ton to get to over there. But before we do, let's talk about a few other stories coming out this week in the world of sports, because there was some news this week in the NBA. You know, I told you, a week or two ago in our NBA preview, that the Brooklyn Nets were very, very dangerous, but that we didn't know who exactly they would be dangerous to. Would they be dangerous to their opponent? Would they be dangerous to themselves? Well, it turns out that dysfunctional cast of idiots is mostly dangerous to their head coach. Because yesterday, the Nets fired head coach Steve Nash. And honestly, I think it's because he seemed to be the only sane person in the building. Wait, it's going to get a little better, because they say they're going to replace him with former Boston Celtics head coach Ime Udoka, who of course is on suspension from Boston because of improper interactions with females on the job. Really? That's who you're going to bring in? Hey, what is one team's molester is another team's treasure, right, Cleveland Browns? But this, honestly, it makes perfect sense for the Brooklyn Nets, doesn't it? Because this team's makeup is shakier than Ben Simmons' psyche, so of course they're going to make a move like this. It's kismet. It had to happen. And while we're going to be talking a ton of college football today and take a look at how the season has gone so far, the very first college football playoff rankings were released last night. As usual, the playoff committee, well, they made a few odd choices. And as usual, everyone will overreact to it. But also as usual, none of it really matters until we get down to the end. The Tennessee Volunteers come in at the number one spot. The Ohio State Buckeyes were number two. Georgia was voted number three. We thought we might get a number one versus number two this weekend. It's actually going to be a number one versus number three, as Tennessee will go to Georgia this weekend. Clemson was number four ahead of Michigan, who I think got beat up in the tunnel on the way to the rankings. A little odd, because Clemson's strength of schedule isn't good. Michigan's, I guess, is actually probably a little bit worse. And then Alabama came in at six. Undefeated TCU came in at seven, which is interesting because that is behind one loss Alabama at six. Number eight went to the Oregon Ducks, who came in ahead of number nine, USC. A little weird, isn't it? I mean, Oregon, you'll remember, lost 49-3 to Georgia in the opener. USC lost 43-42 to Utah. But honestly, other than that, none of this probably really matters until we get down to the end of the year. But at least we kind of know this is the direction that the College Football Playoff Committee is thinking. We can kind of track that going forward. However, we also know they're just going to change it to whatever they want, because that's what they do every single year. Okay, coming back, we are going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show to discuss that college football season. We know who was ranked in the top four last night, but who is going to be ranked in that top four in those final important rankings? We're going to let you know that and a lot more today on The Daily Dose. Joining us today on The Daily Dose, we have President of the Daily Dose I Team, the guy who finds the stories that other people cannot find, our residential West Virginia Mountaineer and expert on everything from the NFL to the NBA to boxing to the Premier League and, of course, to the world of college football. Big Rob, welcome back to the Daily Dose.
Hello, hello. It's good to be here.
Rob, you and I have a sickness, and that is mostly college football. There are other things in there too, but mostly college football. We watch a ridiculous amount of it. It will be like a Thursday night. The Cardinals are playing like the Buccaneers. And you and I watch it. Like, we'll keep an eye on it. And also, we're watching, like, North Carolina State versus Wake Forest because we're just stupid that way. And we have proof that we know something about college football because you and I are playing the college football pick'em on ESPN. And I don't want to brag, but, like, we're doing pretty well. Like, top 85% of the entire thing, that's not bad, right? Like, we're doing something right, aren't we?
We're doing good, yes. We've been hanging in there. Dropped down, I think last week, started to slide a little bit. Yes. But we were 90% there for, you know, 5-6 weeks in a row.
Yeah, yeah. This week wasn't great, but it was better than last week. Last week really killed me. That bumped me back a little bit. Rob, the season is getting more and more intense, and it feels like it has some actual unpredictability to it this year that we haven't had in the past few years. And I think that's mostly because there are no unbeatable teams. There's some good teams. Nobody's unbeatable this year. I think it's a little more open. It's not like wide open. There's not like 20 teams, but there might be like 6-8 teams that could win this thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I know we'll get into this later, but like you said, in past years, it's always felt like, okay, it's one or two teams. It's going to be them at the end. But now, like you said, you can get down to maybe 6, 7, 8, and that, you know, all have a, I'd say, legitimate shot.
Yeah, and there's some sneaky teams out there that I'm not quite sure about yet. And we need to see them play a little bit more, play a little better competition to find out, are they really capable or are they kind of teasing us along the way? We're going to find out very, very soon. But, you know, Rob, every year we will see a team, maybe they weren't ranked or maybe they were ranked like, you know, 22, 23, a little bit too low. And they come up and they surprise us. This year we've had a few, but who are some of the biggest surprises that you've seen so far this season?
Well, one I'll give you, the first one is TCU. Big 12 is wide open. Really enjoy watching just that conference in all, just because it's just been crazy. But yeah, for TCU to be undefeated at this point, their offense, the way they're putting up points, that was, you know, surprising to me for sure.
It was to me too. And I don't know. They're one of those teams. I don't know exactly how good they are, but you beat Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas, Kansas State. Those are all ranked teams when they played them. They're 8-0 now. And like I said, I don't know if anybody saw that coming. Sonny Dykes has them undefeated for now. They score big points. They're very fun to watch. If things break right, they could end up being a playoff team. We'll see if they do break right. I'm going to give a team, and it's kind of weird because they're surprising us this year, but they are a team that has such high expectations every year. There's no way they can live up to them. But the Tennessee Volunteers, they might be the best team in college football. We're going to find out. They score big points. They stop the run. I have a few concerns about their pass defense, but I worry about Tennessee because it doesn't always seem like they kind of find that Lego to step on somewhere along the way. But hey, the Vols are in the hunt for the college football playoff.
Definitely. And I'm not making this comparison, but a little bit like LSU a couple of years, just from the offensive standpoint, like, yeah, where the defense isn't great, but I mean, I feel like they can put up points against anybody. So that's enough. Like, they're going to be in, that offense will keep them in every game.
They can score with anybody. Now, maybe they go out and have a bad day, but we haven't seen it yet. Their quarterback goes out, just lights it up. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. Head coach Justin Timberlake. Yes, he's fat. Yes, he looks out of shape. He doesn't look healthy to me. But he's done a phenomenal job at the University of Tennessee. The Vols are a big, big surprise. Got any more surprises for us, Rob?
Yeah, another surprise for me. This is kind of a two-part. It's Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
LSU, yeah. And then when you look at Notre Dame. So maybe he was at, you know, Notre Dame all those years, and maybe, I don't want to say took him for granted, but maybe he's a better coach than we thought, because now you see leaves LSU. LSU still has a couple losses, but I mean, they're competitive. They're in every game. I think a couple years, you know, they're going to be right there in the SEC. And then you look at Notre Dame, where traditionally, you know, they looked pretty good until they played a good team and then they lost, but they've already got a couple losses this year. So just Brian Kelly on both sides, maybe a little underestimated as well as a coach, how good he is as a coach.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, I know we give him grief, and anytime they play ranked teams, he struggles. But lately, they have found a few wins. They've knocked off a few teams. They go down to Ole Miss. They beat Ole Miss, which I don't know if anybody saw coming. Lane Kiffin, we got to see if he can actually get it done when he has to. But yeah, Brian Kelly's doing some good things. And he's kind of given up on that silly accent. We all knew. I think most of us knew it was probably fake.
probably wasn't real, but you know, he tried to roll it out there again. I like that pick. Rob, I'm going to make the Fighting Illini of Illinois one of my surprises. And no, they haven't beaten a ranked team yet. I don't even know if they're really that good, honestly, but Illinois is 7-1. Illinois is always terrible. They don't win games in football. That's not what they, and here's some good news. They only play one ranked team the rest of the year. The schedule fell right for Illinois this year. Hey, keep it rolling. Enjoy it while it lasts. It probably won't last much longer, but Illinois is winning football games. Who knew?
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. Surprising one. Another one, Syracuse. Kind of that same thing. That's another in that same camp with Illinois that just, you know, I know they've lost recently, but just to start the season off, you know, consecutive wins, undefeated there for a while. It's like, wait, what? Syracuse?
Right. Right. And in big games, like when does Syracuse play in a big game? Jim Brown's not there. Floyd Little's not there. We don't have those things anymore. It's been a while. It's probably been since Donovan McNabb. I don't even know. They're playing in big games, important games. Yeah. Syracuse has had a pretty nice season. Rob, I'm going to add another surprise and I'm going to regret saying this. I know it as soon as it comes out of my mouth, I'm going to regret saying this. But when the Oregon Ducks got pounded 49-3 by the Georgia Bulldogs to open the year, I was like, they're dead. They're buried. It's over. They have now rolled out 7 wins in a row. If things break right, they could play their way into the Pac-12 title game. I know we're probably going to talk more about Oregon in a few minutes, but Oregon and quarterback Bo Nix, who is always an idiot, is making good plays. You and I are talking back and forth. We're texting back and forth when Oregon plays UCLA, and we keep waiting. The other shoe is going to fall. Bo Nix is going to go all Bo Nix on us. He's going to do something dumb. I kept telling you, Rob, he went to church or something. Like, I don't know what's going on. He's not screwing it up. I don't know how, but he's making good plays. It's bizarre, but it's a surprise.
Yeah, I had that on my list as well. And actually, I had the Pac-12. Not the whole league, but you know, as bad as the a rap that they get, you've got Oregon, USC, and UCLA all with one loss. And so, and I think those are all decent teams. I mean, I think those are all solid teams. So I know we give the Pac-12 a lot of grief, deservedly so.
Yes.
But like I said, they've got 3 solid teams in that conference, I feel like.
Rob, one team in the Pac-12 that was not a surprise that we should throw out there is that you placed a bet on the University of Colorado to not win more than 2 games this year, and your money is looking like it's in the vault, baby. Like, you got that money safe.
I feel good about it. Yes, under 3 was the official bet.
And, under 3.
Under 3, just looking good, looking good.
Arizona State, like, that's a little bit of a worry. Arizona State is terrible. Yeah. They've already fired their coach. Now, I mean, you're getting USC, you're getting Utah. Like, now it's just gravy. You're just sitting back there counting your money. Piece of cake. That's definitely not a surprise from that side of things. Rob, you got any more surprises for us right now?
No, that was it. That was my last one. Like I said, yeah, Pac-12.
Okay, we know. Yes, there's always surprises. But there are always disappointments in college football. And we only have an hour show. Like, I'm not sure we're going to have enough time for all the disappointments. But so far this year in college football, who are your biggest disappointments?
Well, let me start with this one. And this is actually a surprise and a disappointment. And that's Scott Frost finally getting fired. We knew it was coming. Yeah. I'm surprised that it happened so early. I think
You
know, at that point, save yourself some money on the buyout and just go ahead and ride out the season. Like, why are we waiting? So I am surprised, I guess surprised and disappointed that it happened so early.
Well, if it's going to happen that early, just make it in April. like don't wait that long, because he loses to Northwestern. By the way, that Northwestern team is not good at playing football. No. And then they lost to, who was it, like Troy State or like some terrible, never heard of. What happened to Nebraska? Oh my goodness, they're so bad. This last weekend, they play Illinois. Illinois got some momentum. Illinois is favored. Illinois is not favored over anybody. Illinois beat them well. It wasn't even close. Nebraska's really, really bad. Yeah, I could understand that. I don't know. Nebraska still has an inflated sense of who they are, and that's going to haunt them. I know the Nebraska fans are like, hey, you know, we're going to go get Nick Saban. We're going to go get Urban Meyer. Like, they have this insane mentality of who they're going to get. They are not who they used to be. And until they accept that and build things accordingly, I think they're going to be disappointed for a while. Rob, I'm going to put a disappointment out here, and it's not fair. It's not their fault. I feel like, you know, Goodwill Hunting, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. One, it isn't their fault. Two, they're getting better. But remember, there were some idiotic pollsters that had the Notre Dame Fighting Irish ranked number 5 in the country prior to the season. Not 25, not 15, 5. If you voted Notre Dame top 10 prior to this year, you should not be allowed to vote in anything ever again, ever. Notre Dame opened the year with a loss to Ohio State. Okay, no shame there. And then they lost to Marshall. Marshall. Not Randy Moss Marshall. Like, we've never heard of Marshall. They also lost to Stanford, who probably should drop football at this point. I don't get it. I like that Notre Dame is rallying. I think their young coach is growing up. He's learning. I think he's getting better. But Notre Dame at 5, that's not even their fault. That's the pollsters, but still, that's a disappointment because they have not had a top 5 year for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, there had to be a step down. You knew that was coming. Like I said, I'm not writing off the program yet. They've got potential.
No, they'll be okay.
Yeah. One for me, and this is a big one, Texas A&M.
Yep.
I had them in my Final Four with all that talent, the recruiting. Jimbo Fisher, traditionally a good coach, and just I don't know what happened. I mean, we knew going into the season that the offense was going to be a problem. But just to be that bad on offense, the defense does as much as it can. But just overall, for them to have a, you know, have a losing record is just that's very disappointing.
Well, and remember prior to the season, like during the offseason, we were hearing Jimbo Fisher talking about how A&M is stealing Alabama's recruits. Nick Saban is jealous of what we're doing. And then you lost to Appalachian State. Mm-hmm. You lost to Mississippi State. You lost to South Carolina. You lost to Ole Miss. They mm-hmm. still have Florida. They still have LSU on the schedule. They have a chance to finish with a losing record and not even qualify for a bowl game. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is a bigger disappointment in the country than Texas A&M. They have been awful. And like you said, we knew the offense might struggle. I thought Jimbo Fisher was supposed to be like offensive guy. I thought he was like, you know, going to whisper to some quarterbacks or something. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. They've been horrible. You know, it didn't surprise me that the Oklahoma Sooners took a step back because they lost so many pieces, but I don't know if anyone expected this. I mean, they lost to Kansas State again, like they do every year. They probably should be paying K-State rent at this point. But then they lost to TCU. Okay. But then they got beaten by Texas 49-0. They've won a few games since then. I like quarterback Taylor Gabriel. I think he's a tough kid, but he's been hurt. But 49-0, that's not getting forgotten anytime soon. I didn't expect that kind of fall for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I had them on my list as well. Especially like I said, Venables is supposed to be a defensive guy. And there was a stretch in there of 4 games where they gave up at least 40 points
yep.
every game, right in a row, 4 games in a row. And so, like you said, I knew there would be a step down. Obviously, with Lincoln Riley leaving, you know, the offense isn't going to be as good. But, you know, this is supposed to be a defensive coach. And you guys are giving up 40 a game. That's, yeah, incredibly disappointing.
And that conference is wild. Same thing. I don't know whether to take, hey, the offenses are just so good or the defenses are bad. Maybe a little of both. I don't know exactly how to take that. But I didn't expect that from Oklahoma. I thought they'd be, like, trying to grind out wins.
Yep.
Not getting 50 hung on them. That was brutal. Rob, I thought about giving the University of Houston a disappointment because we talked about them prior to the year, and they've been bad. They've been really disappointing. A team that we thought could make some noise from the group of five. They've been bad, but not as bad as this, because I'm going to give my final disappointment to every single school in the state of Florida. Florida is awful. Miami is terrible. Florida State sucks. Central Florida is average. South Florida is a disaster. Florida Atlantic, International, they're horrible. I know my home state of Colorado at this point, honestly, should just drop the sport of football. I get it. But why isn't Florida better? You have every recruit down there. Why aren't you better? I understand we don't have the recruits here. So I understand why Colorado State, they're both horrible. I get it. Florida, you have all the recruits. What is going on?
Yeah, actually, Miami was on my list as well. And like you said, for the same reason. But yeah, you can add in all the Florida schools. I don't know. Like you said, that there is so much talent there in that state, right in your state. And for all of them to be bad, not even in the picture at all, is, yeah, that's a shocker.
Are they on the right track even?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't really feel too confident about any of them, of the Florida schools. Like, especially Miami. Like I said, with Crystal Ball there, I thought it would maybe turn around, or like you said, at least be going in the right direction. And it's just, it looks like it has always.
Rob, is this a result of getting rid of the turnover chain? Because I feel like it probably is.
I mean, we said that at the beginning. I mean,
we called it.
That was the first mistake. And then
if you can't recover a fumble and go to the sideline and like start up a chainsaw or jump around on a pogo stick, then what's the point of any of this?
Why are we out here?
Why are we even playing? I don't understand it. Florida schools, they do it a little bit different, but this year they have done it really, really poorly. Rob, it is now November, and the Heisman Award is going to be presented supposedly to the best player in all of college football in about a month, because on December 10th, we will be awarding the Heisman Trophy out. Unfortunately, that award has lost a lot of meaning because the voters, once again, fail to ever make sense. But I'm going to make you a Heisman voter, because you'll actually make some doggone sense here. If you are voting for the Heisman, and I know we're only at the halfway point, we still have a month to go, and some of the games coming down the stretch are going to be the biggest games of the year. If you are voting right now, who would maybe be your top three or your top vote getter for the Heisman right now?
My top pick, I think it's going to be CJ Stroud.
Yeah, I do too.
Still number one. Had a good season. I know it'll probably come down to that Michigan-Ohio State game. And if he has a big game in that, I think that almost is going to seal the deal for him.
I think it is too. I think this game this last week against Penn State, where he had to come back, he put up big numbers. I think that's one of those ones that we're going to look back and say he might have won it that day. It's going to come down to that Michigan game, like you said, though. I would throw out Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker. He's also putting up big numbers. He's got 21 touchdowns. He only has one interception. Really, really impressive. But like you said, it's going to come down to, can he win another big regular season game that we're going to be talking about in a few minutes? Anybody else you'd even put in the conversation right now?
Yeah, I've got two more for you. To go along with Hendon Hooker, the dark horse, Stetson Bennett. And in a scenario, you know, it's going to be offense versus defense when that game comes around.
Sure.
But if Georgia has to score with him and keep up with him, I think that's a guy that can emerge. Again, that's another one. If he has a big game during there, that they say, okay, well, the defense is good, but, you know, maybe he's been overlooked. So I could see him building up some hype there.
He's a really goofy player, and I watch him a lot. You look at him and you're like, there's no way.
Yeah.
But dude just makes plays over and over and over again, and he is fearless. I'll give him that. I would throw out USC quarterback Caleb Williams. I don't know if the Pac-12 is capable of winning a Heisman, though. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody looks at them a little bit like you're kind of playing a little bit lower level. But my goodness, the number Caleb Williams is putting up, 24 TDs, only one interception. Pretty impressive stuff there. I would at least put him in the conversation. He should at least get the invite. I don't know that he can win it, though.
Yeah, I agree. I've got him on the list. And I'm going to give you Max Duggan, TCU's quarterback. But the same scenario. Like, I don't know if Big 12 is enough, you know, to actually vault him up there. But, I mean, I think he still gets the invite to New York. I mean, just with his numbers, the season, that offense that they're having.
Well, he's putting up crazy high numbers. They're scoring 50 points a game every week. So, yeah, he's certainly deserving of at least getting the invite. I think we're both kind of looking at CJ Stroud, though, and saying it's probably his to lose unless something magical happens, because he's having such a good year and he's got such a good team around him. Rob, we have a number of games remaining on the schedule. We know that we've gone through the first half. We've seen unpredictability. We've seen some surprises, but we're going to have some crazy games coming. Rivalry games. We're going to have conference championship games, and they are going to shape the college football playoff. It would seem to me that right now, you and I, we can predict some college football. If we could predict the outcome of some of these games, we're going to have a pretty good idea of who's going to be in the college football playoff. Okay, let's take a look at some of these games coming up, because we're going to figure out this mystery who's going to this college football playoff. Coming up this week, Rob, we've got maybe three games that could be playoff games. I'm going to start with the worst of the bunch. Clemson, who I think has the easiest route of any team left to go to the playoff because they just don't play anybody. They go to South Bend to face Notre Dame. Is there any chance Notre Dame can give Clemson a loss?
Oh, I don't think so, but that's going to be a close one. Kind of like you mentioned, Clemson all year hasn't been great. They've just kind of been struggling by. They still haven't figured out what they're doing at quarterback. They're going back and forth. Defense keeps them in games. So like I said, I don't feel great about it, but I just don't think Notre Dame's ready, quite honestly. But yeah, like you said, Clemson probably scrapes through. I mean, just their remaining schedule. After that, they got Louisville, Miami, and South Carolina. So they probably scrape their way through there. But like I said, I don't feel great about it.
I don't either. And the problem for me is that Notre Dame, they're kind of figuring out who they are. And the only way they can really beat you, they cannot score you. They got to kind of grind you out. I think of the two, Clemson is the better grinder team than Notre Dame is. So I think Clemson gets through that, and I think they run the rest of that schedule. Another one, and it's a big one in the SEC, Alabama goes down to Death Valley to face Brian Kelly and LSU. Can LSU somehow pull off the upset of Bama at their place?
I don't think so. I'm going to lean still with Bama. I think that's going to be a close game, though. I mean, I think it goes down to the wire. LSU's defense, again, like you said, we already talked about Brian Kelly. I think he can, you know, coach up a scheme, keep them in the game. At the end of the day, I think it's just too much talent on Alabama and they get them. But I mean, I think that's a close game for sure.
Okay, I'm right there with you. I think Alabama skates through. I think they slip by, and that leaves them heading toward that SEC title game. Final game that we have this coming weekend, and it's the biggest of all of them. Tennessee and what all they're doing and how good they look. Go to Athens to face the Georgia Bulldogs. Rob, this is a playoff game. There's no other way to say it. It's a playoff game because the winner is on track to go to the SEC title game. The loser, you can't play in the title game. You're both on the same side of the conference. So one of you is going to have to sit at home and watch, and you might be deserving of going to the playoff. Who is going to win Tennessee at Georgia this week?
Oh, this is another tough one. This is a coin flip. I will take an upset here. I'm going to say Tennessee. The momentum rolling. I think that offense, they get the ball last and they figure out the way, either win it by a field goal or, you know, late drive at the end of the game. Just, it's maybe that kind of season. Again, I'm not making the LSU comparison.
Right.
Different team, LSU way better. But maybe it is just that kind of season where everything's clicking, everything's rolling, and we're going. So I'm gonna say Tennessee on an upset.
I like it. I am really tempted to go the same way. I'm gonna go with Georgia at home. More experience in big games, but like Rob said, this is a coin flip. Mm-hmm. Whoever has the ball probably last. It could come down to just, you know, who can get one stop and win the game. I'm gonna go Georgia, which puts them on track to go to the SEC final. We will see. On November 12th. We get Alabama going to Ole Miss. Alabama going to trip up against the Lane Kiffins?
I hope so. I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't think it's going to happen. They get past LSU, and I would love, for Ole Miss. Just Lane. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I can't say enough about Lane.
Lane is so fun. He's great.
But I don't think so, but I will be rooting for Ole Miss for sure.
I will too. Bama's going to beat him, but I have no faith in Kiffin in actually, you know, a big game. November 19th, we get one more chance for Georgia maybe to slip up. They go to Lexington to face the Kentucky Wildcats. Rob, Kentucky quarterback Will Levis, he is being talked about as maybe being the top quarterback in the upcoming draft. I am telling teams this. If you draft him number one, you're going to be terrible because he's not very good at playing quarterback. But do whatever you want to. I don't think there's any way Georgia slips up to Kentucky.
Yeah, I agree. No matter how that Georgia-Tennessee game turns out, I think they get past Kentucky. Kentucky, a good story, a good program. Yeah. Definitely they're on adorable. The upswing, yep. But nah.
Nah. And I don't understand why Will Levis is getting any. I've watched him three or four times now. I'm not impressed. Maybe that's me. Also on November 19th, we have that Illinois squad overachieving, actually winning games this year. They go up to Ann Arbor to face Michigan. Any chance they can even hang with Michigan? Is that even a close game at all?
I think so. Okay. Just this season, people have been kind of hanging around Michigan. I mean, they pulled away late a couple games. I definitely think, you know, Michigan wins, you know, beats them. But yeah, I think Illinois hangs around, and then maybe, you know, Michigan pulls away there in the fourth.
I would agree. I think Michigan ends up scraping that one out. If they do, again, they're on track to go into that Ohio State game undefeated. A couple more games on the 19th of November. Utah goes to Oregon. We know Utah already has two losses. But if you were to beat Oregon in Eugene, you're back in the talks about maybe going to that Pac-12 title game. We know the Pac-12, they don't go by any division. They go by the top two teams are going to play in that title game. Utah at Oregon, is Bo Nix actually reformed?
I'm going to say yeah. Like you said, okay. You mentioned before, you know, Oregon outside of that first game, they've looked great. I mean,
they've looked very good.
It's a different Bo Nix. Their remaining schedule, Colorado, Washington, that Utah is a big one, and then Oregon State. So I think they get through all those, and they're sitting with one loss, you know, coming into the playoff.
Okay, so you've got Oregon getting through. I'm gonna say Bo Nix goes all Bo Nix on us, and Utah gets a win there. The only problem I have for Utah is they're kind of banged up. They got some injuries that are kind of accumulating. That could be a problem for them. But Oregon, they'll just beat Oregon. USC at UCLA is also the 19th of November. Hey, we know the Trojans can score points this year. Can they beat Chip Kelly and the UCLA Bruins?
I think they can. This is another one where I think we got a one-loss team coming through. USC's next four: Cal, Colorado, UCLA, Notre Dame, and then UCLA, Arizona State, Arizona, USC, and then Cal. So that game, I think, comes down to, you know, whoever wins that game. Again, they're now sitting with one loss, trying to get in that playoff.
So then they're probably facing whoever wins this game is facing Oregon. Mm-hmm. In your right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we are we're right there. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We'll come back to that.
Yeah,
one USC. Other chance. You've got USC.
USC, right? Yeah, my official pick again.
Yeah. I've got USC beating UCLA as well. I have no faith in Chip Kelly, as you know. Moving to the 26th of November, it's that weekend right after Thanksgiving. One more chance for Oregon to slip up. They go to Oregon State. Hey, the Beavers are not the old Beavers we think of. They're not those old, tired, worn out, nasty Beavers that you think of. They are kind of tough, and especially playing at home, it's going to be raining because that's what it does up there. Can Bo Nix get a win on the road against the Beavers?
If there is a slip up, I think it comes in this game. If Bo Nix reverts to his old self, I think he somehow makes it through Utah and everything thinks it's great. And then this is the reminder, Oregon State.
Oh boy. This is going to be wild. Pac-12 is going to be really interesting coming down the stretch, isn't it? Also, November 26th, we have what is another playoff game. And it's going to be a huge one if they both get through like we think they're going to. Michigan goes to Ohio State. They go to the Horseshoe. They got the win last year. And the biggest difference in that game, Michigan pushed Ohio State around up front, both sides of the ball. It wasn't just one side. Has Ohio State fixed that? Are they better this year? Who's going to win Michigan-Ohio State?
I think it's going to be Ohio State. I think they are getting better with that on the defensive side of the ball, getting a little bit tougher. But this is going to be a big one because I think, again, they're both going to be undefeated. And I think if Michigan is going to make the playoffs, they're going to have to beat Ohio State because I can see them being a one-loss team that gets left out.
I can too. And if it comes down to it, and you've got Big Ten, SEC, we've talked about, you know, a team like TCU, we've talked about a USC, somebody's getting left out. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be you. And you could have a Michigan. I'm going to say something crazy. You could have an Alabama in the exact same situation, or a Georgia looking, saying, hey, we only have one loss. What's going on? Why aren't we getting in? Yeah, this is going to be very, very interesting. I like CJ Stroud for that reason. I think Ohio State's a little bit better. I do think they've shored up both sides of the lines. I don't know that they're all the way fixed. We saw that a little bit against Penn State. There are moments where you look at Ohio State, man, they're really, really good. And then there's moments there you go, you're not quite there. You're right there. You're close, but you're not quite there. There are times they have those lapses. Rob, based on those predictions that we just made, we now move to conference title games. And if that is the case, in the ACC, we would probably be looking at Clemson versus probably North Carolina. If we're looking at that game, who's coming out? Is Clemson going to skate through? Because if they do, they're going to be undefeated. That's going to be tough to leave them out. And at the same time, they haven't really played anybody. Can the fighting Mac Browns come out and give Clemson a game at least and maybe knock them off?
I don't think so. I mean, like we talked about before, I think it's a close game. It's a tight game, but just the coaching, the veterans, that defense, Dabo back. I don't think they have enough to overtake them. So they get an ugly win. They finish the season undefeated, and it's ugly.
And then they've got to sit there on Selection Sunday and hope.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, because you're sitting there going, we beat everybody that we can beat, but it hasn't been overly impressive. I mean, and you haven't really beaten anybody great.
Right.
Clemson is going to be right there where we're all going, I don't know. Did they get in? Did they not get in? Going to be very interesting to watch that ACC, because the ACC this year has not been very good. We move over to another conference that you and I have already talked about. I don't know what to expect from one week to the next. Based on what we're kind of seeing, how this is going, we're probably going to see TCU versus Kansas State. I would say this is a walk in the park for TCU, but I don't know what to expect from K-State from one week to the next. They're crazy. They blanked Oklahoma State this last week, 48-0. I don't know how. I have no idea how. Who comes out on top if that's the Big 12 championship game?
I would say Kansas State. I think it just feels like the way that conference is, that it looks like TCU, it should be them. They know we're right here, ready to go, and somehow they lose it. That feels like that conference.
That would make perfect sense. That would make perfect sense. They would get so close. Or I could even see them like winning like a 51-48 overtime game and then being like, why aren't we in? Everybody's like, man, come on. How did you think this is going to end? This is just like that other year where you and Baylor both got left out. Like, I could totally see that happening. I could see TCU slipping up in that big game. We've both got Ohio State getting through in the Big Ten. I think they're going to be very, very good. Most likely, they probably play Illinois, I would say, in the Big Ten championship game. Wisconsin is a team, by the way. Since they fired their head coach, they're really dangerous. They're not going to get through. I don't think there's any way. They're getting really dangerous. Jim Leonard's doing a pretty good job for Wisconsin, but it's probably going to be Illinois. Ohio State just rolls through them, don't they?
Yeah. I think, once they get past Michigan, they're close then. And like I said, I just don't think Illinois has enough to stop that offense, even with the questions on defense.
No. I like the running game. I like what Illinois is doing, but they're not in that class. That's a different animal for them. We move to the Pac-12 that is going to be wild to watch down the stretch. And Rob, I believe you would probably have Oregon versus USC.
USC, yep.
If you're looking at that game right now, Bo Nix in all his glory, who's going to win, Oregon versus USC?
Oh, man. Give me USC. Again, I know we talked about Bo Nix. It's got to happen sooner or later. Yeah. But and this is another coin flip game. I think one of these teams is going to be a one-loss team. You know, it kind of comes down to this game. Yeah, give me USC.
That USC offense gets through.
Yeah, defense is enough to get them by. I'm going to trust that offense, though.
See, and I could totally see Utah sneaking in instead of Oregon, but they're still going to face USC. I don't think anybody can score enough and beat them. You know, again, if they face them now, I don't know that they can beat Caleb Williams. I just think he's going to go out and he's going to put up 50 points. I don't think he can score 50 points. Oregon USC would be the most fun, though.
Oh yeah,
because you could get a 51-48 kind of game.
Oh yeah.
Then it's a coin flip. I don't know who's getting through. If, say that we miss this, say Oregon goes through, Bo Nix gets the win, they win, they get through. Can Oregon go to the playoff? They got beat 49-3. Can you put them in with a straight face?
I mean, I think so, because it's the first game of the year. I mean, and they've been pretty dominant, especially that game we're talking about, that last game. If it ends up being USC, if they have a convincing win and they look good, I think you can say that was long enough to go, maybe they're better.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That would be wild. Can you imagine? That would be like when Nebraska got 60 hung on them by Colorado, and they were like, dude, just go to the championship game. We don't want to reshuffle the cards. Just go. We don't even care. I mean, 49-3. It was in late August or early September or whatever, but that would be wild if they went through, let alone what if they actually got in and won a game or two. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. We move to the SEC. You've got Tennessee getting that win this coming weekend. They're going to be facing Alabama in the title game. Who's coming out on top?
I mean, you have to pick Bama. I don't think you can't beat them twice in the same season, right?
I wouldn't think so. And it kind of took like everything they had to beat them the one time.
Right.
So then you've got Alabama getting that win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, man. I had Georgia getting through. I would have Georgia beating Alabama and giving them two losses.
Oh, okay.
Here's the problem. Does that mean one loss Tennessee is sitting at home for the playoff? They didn't even play in the conference title game.
Right.
So I've got some problems here with my playoff format, because honestly, if Georgia were to scrape out a win against Tennessee this weekend, I wouldn't have any problem with Tennessee getting in the final. Mm-hmm. And yet, you didn't even play in your conference title game.
Right.
Not that that's the end-all, be-all. We've seen it happen before. All right, Rob. It's getting close here. It's getting tight here. It's about that time. If you were going to pick your four teams to get in the college football playoff, let's start at one, because we know top two teams, we kind of know. It's those last two teams that get a little bit tight. Who would be your number one seed going into the college football playoff?
Ohio State.
Ohio State gets the one.
Yeah, they got the cleanest, okay. the easiest route, I would say.
I would agree. I would put Georgia at one, provided they get through some really big obstacles that are coming for them starting this weekend, because they might not even get through this coming weekend. But other than that, we're right there at the same. At number two, who do you have?
Give me oh, man.
Yeah. It's not easy.
Give me Tennessee.
Tennessee gets the two seed. I'm going to go with Ohio State at my two seed. So we've got the SEC champion. I've got the Big Ten champion. Now things are going to get difficult, because who do you put in at number three?
Give me Georgia.
Georgia still gets in. So you've got Tennessee getting in, and you've got Georgia getting in.
I do.
Oh, this is going to be real interesting. I'm going to throw Clemson in there. I probably shouldn't, but Clemson will get in just based on they're undefeated. So they'll get the votes. So I've got Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson. You've got Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now it gets real big. Who's your number four seed?
Four spot. Going off the rails here. I have a one loss Pac-12 team. I know we went through those different scenarios, but one of those teams, either Oregon, Bo Nix, has fully reformed. They're the real deal. They roll. Or if it's USC, one of those teams, whichever one looks better, comes out with one loss, they get the four spot.
Okay. Okay. Oh, wow. And I could totally see it happening too. That would be wild if we went Pac-12, basically canceling football to getting into the playoff this year. Like, we're not expecting anything, and sneaking in the back door.
And we have, full controversy, because I'm leaving out Clemson, an undefeated Clemson. I'm leaving out a one-loss Alabama.
Oof. I'm going to put the one-loss Alabama into my four. So you have Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia, USC, or Oregon, correct?
12, yep.
I've got Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama. So in your first game, then you have Ohio State facing that Pac-12 team, USC or Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Who's coming out on top in that game?
Ohio State.
Okay. I've got Georgia facing Alabama in a rematch. Rob, they're not beating them again. Bama's getting through. I've got Bama going through to the final game again. All right. Number two versus number three, you have Tennessee versus Georgia.
Yep.
Rematch. In a rematch of this next weekend. Mm-hmm. Who's coming out? Man.
Again, you can't beat them twice. So we got Georgia this time.
I have got Ohio State facing Clemson in my two versus three matchup. I've got Ohio State getting through. So I'm going to have Alabama versus Ohio State. You were going to have Georgia versus Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's winning your title game?
Ohio State.
I do too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
We got there.
Yeah. We took a roundabout way, but we got to the same place like we always do. That's just kind of how it rolls. Rob, there are playoff games coming and they're going to be absolutely wild. And while we sit here and say, we think we know how this is going to go, these are 19, 20 year olds. We don't have any idea what they're going to do.
Yeah. And I know we say it at the beginning of every season, but I mean, this season more than any other, this is the case for the playoff right here. I mean, I think you can legit go at least eight, probably even season 12 here. I mean, but you've got a handful of really, I would put it this way. There's more than four teams that deserve to, be in the playoffs.
Agreed. And I know that the argument is, well, we're going to get some bad games. We have bad games now. Who cares? But what if you got that round or two or game or two that you went, that was amazing. We never saw it coming. Rob, every week right now, we're going through and we're looking at, hey, Georgia, Tennessee coming up. That's a great game. How many of us saw, Appalachian State pulling off the upset of Texas A&M? Nobody. Mm-hmm. So we see surprises all the time. And it's almost like it's always those games that you go, not that one. Don't worry about that one. Those are the ones we get the surprises. So I don't care if there's a blowout here or there. I don't care if we have a couple games where, number 12 faces number one. That's fine. You've got to weed out some of this stuff. But I would rather it be settled on the field. College football is the only major sport where we don't truly settle it on the field.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, even with the blowout argument, I mean, even with four teams, I mean, how many of those 1-4 games have been not competitive at all? So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would rather see them play it off, at least have an idea, at least give teams a chance and find out. Maybe there's a group of five team this year. I don't see it, but maybe, Tulane or one of those teams that's kind of still out there lurking. Maybe it's TCU. I don't know, but I would rather see it settled on the field. You and I just made our final four picks and we both had to leave out teams that could be there and could win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of that. I want to see us play off on the field. I think it would be way, way better. Rob, we've laid out how college football is going to go. People don't even have to watch anymore because now they already know. We've already told them. But Rob, next week, we are hoping that maybe you can come back. We can kind of do the same thing in the NFL. Take a look at it at the halfway point. Would you be up for joining us again next week? Maybe we have a couple other knuckleheads join us too.
Absolutely. Like I said, college has been crazy, like we discussed, and the NFL, it's been pretty crazy as well. Lots of surprises.
It has been wild again this year. And, it seems like about the time we look at it and we say, okay, I think I have this team figured out. No, you don't. Then they win a big game. They lose a big game. We're like, oh, I thought I had that. I thought I had this division figured. No, you don't. Everything's upside down. We have no idea. Rob, this year has been a little bit weird, hasn't it?
It has. Like I said, college and NFL pro, just football in general. It's just been, it's been a lot of craziness. But, that's why we like it. It's exciting.
Oh, for sure. It's unpredictable. Rob, your Philadelphia Eagles are rolling. It is November. They still haven't lost a game. What in the world is going on? And I picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
I know. Yeah, that's again, this is the surprises we're talking about. I mean, I know on the show we had all, you know, liked them, liked the moves they made in the offseason, but I mean, like I said, to be undefeated at this point. And I would say, I don't know if this is the fan in me, but like convincingly undefeated. Like they look solid. I mean, they've had like a couple bad quarters, I'd say, like a quarter here or there, but just as far as whole game consistent, you know, every game they've looked consistent. So
well, and you know what I like about them? They look good on the offensive line, they look good on the defensive line. I know we get caught up in quarterbacks, we get caught up in running backs and cornerbacks and wide receivers. Are you good at the point of attack? If you are, you're probably going to be pretty tough. You know, it's kind of weird in the NFL. Scoring is down. We're not seeing quarterbacks produce like they have in past years. And I don't want to go too far into the NFL this week. We're going to do that all next week. But is it better defenses? Is it bad quarterback play? Is it idiot coaches? What in the world is going on right now in the NFL? Why are we not seeing the scoring and the offensive production that we have in past years?
A little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of bad quarterback play. And I just think the defensive approach has just been more, you know, sit back. We're not going to give up the deep ball and just try to grind it out, you know, through the trenches, you know, first down. Really have to move the change, not give up the big play. So that mixed with some, you know, questionable quarterback play, we'll say. Yeah, tighter games.
Let's not forget idiot coaches, because my goodness, if I have to see one more idiot coach go down, there's 5 minutes left and we're going to go for two to take the lead. There's 5 minutes left. Who cares if you take the lead? I don't even care. It drives me crazy. You know what? It's not even that drives me crazy. As stupid as that is, what drives me crazy is then we have to hear, hey, it's a bold move. He's making the move that his team wants to make. It's the move that makes his team happy. I don't care what makes him happy. Make the smart move. And they're not making the smart move. We see it every week. They do dumb, dumb things. I don't get it.
Yeah, like you said, they do dumb things and then blame it on the analytics. But the analytics said that there was this.
But the book told me I should go. I don't care. You have a brain in your head. And again, I hate to point this out like every week, but the book doesn't account for pressure. It doesn't account for heat. Have you been playing hot? Are you playing? Are you on a roll? Are things going your way? It doesn't account. And there's no way it can count for that stuff. It can't.
Exactly.
You can't include momentum in that. There's no way to calculate that.
Yeah, that's the biggest one. Like you said, just game flow itself. Like, analytics say we should go for it here, but no, we need to take the field goal and just get the points. We just need something. That's something that you can't quantify. So that's why the whole blame everything on analytics is just, I'm over that.
Just absolutely painful. And it's so stupid. We're going to have a ton to talk about next week because we've had the same thing. We've had surprising teams. Mm-hmm. We've had teams that have been really disappointing. If you're not watching the video, I have a giant Bronco flag behind me. If we're going to have to talk about them a little bit, and it's going to hurt my soul, I'm not going to lie to you, but we're going to have to talk about them. Rob, we have a ton to discuss next week, but I want to say thank you so much for stopping by, breaking down college football, letting everyone know what's going to happen. You can watch the games. You don't even have to if you don't want to, because we already told you how they're going to go. We already told you who's going to make the college football playoff. Rob, as usual, thank you so much for your contributions to the Daily Dose. They are very appreciated, and thank you for coming by this week.
Oh, yes. Always a pleasure, and I will we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Hey, next week on The Dose, like we just talked about with Big Rob, we are going to be breaking down the NFL at the midway point as well. Who are the true contenders? Which teams might be pretending? The NFL is wild and unpredictable every week, but we'll be doing our best to make sense of what we've seen so far and what we can expect to see in the second half of the season. So be sure you stop by the Daily Dose next week and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to Big Rob for stopping by and talking college football with us today. We always appreciate your contributions to the Dose. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the video, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody. Clemson was number 4 ahead of Michigan. who I think got beat up in the tunnel on the way to the rankings.